And now a reading from the 13th chapter of Luke's Gospel. At that very hour, some Pharisees came to him and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me again until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May our God bless the reading and the hearing of those words. Amen.
I want to start my reading to you the message version of this morning's gospel lesson you just heard from Pastor Linda. Just then, some Pharisees came up and said, "Run for your life. Herod's got your number and he's out to kill you." Jesus said, "Well, tell that fox that I've known him right now. Today and tomorrow I'm busy clearing out the demons and healing the sick, and the third day I'm wrapping things up. Besides, it's not proper for a prophet to come to a bad end outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killer of prophets, abuser of messengers of God. How often I've longed to gather your children like a hen, her brood safe under her wings, but you refused and you turned. And now it's too late. You won't see me again until the day you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of God.'" Marcia McPhee writes this. She says, "Even Jesus got frustrated when the folks didn't behave as he would have liked. We probably aren't receiving the death threats from Herod as Jesus was, but our well-being could be threatened by the idea that we just try hard enough, are nice, and say just the right thing, that life will always go our way." Well, we run around in so many directions trying to be heard, to herd the chicks into some imagined semblance of perfect formation. I mean, have you ever tried to herd chicks? Now, I realize that for most city folks, the phrase "herding cats" might have a clear image in our mind. But it takes the good old country folks who can vividly imagine what it's like to herd chicks. Am I right? I mean, cats may be independent-minded and wander off their own way, but chicks don't always seem to know where they want to go. They just want to go. Well, isn't that how life seems to be? I mean, life does not always go our way. And right now is a time where there's so much out of control. Out of our control. The pandemic, for example, we're 3 years in, relationships are strained by isolation, emotions are frayed by a bug we cannot see. Anger arises from restrictions and mandates, fear as the disease continues to strike people down indiscriminately. COVID has caused our lives and to become chaotic. So chaotic we cannot control. Other illnesses and afflictions come into our life. Anytime an illness enters our lives, we often lose control of many aspects of our life. Inflation is at a new high. We have no control over that. certainly not over supply and demand or supply chain issues or price gouging or affairs. Gas prices are crazy. They're through the roof, and there's nothing we can do except find people to blame. And then there's the war in Ukraine. We watch the news in horror. We see all evil raining down on the people of Ukraine, and we see the innocent dying and whose towns are being devastated. And closer at home, my kids won't listen to what I say. My noisy neighbor's politics are bad, or taste in music is too loud. I love my butt. The furnace went out. Our refrigerator's broke. My car won't start. Life seems so crazy and so out of control. Well, last Sunday, the focus was on ordinary lives can be holy. The theme invites us to stop thinking some people's lives are more worthy or successful, and to see the holiness in all lives. Yes, this is about our own lives, and see we are as good enough, no matter what. So we continue our movement through this Lenten season this week with another kind of letting go. We lament that so much of our life is out of control. This is frustrating to us, and so sometimes we have been tempted to believe the sayings that tell us if we just think positively, we can turn it around. Yet our experience tells us that this isn't always going to work. Marshall McPhee writes further on, our human propensity for control is perhaps one of the most frustrating aspects of our human brains. What we desire, our longing for particular outcomes, can often keep us driven in exhaustion and distraction. Yes, so much of life's circumstances are out of our control. Jesus knows he can only bring the message, and to do so even in the face of danger, but not make the people accept it, to his frustration. So when things are out of control, where do we turn? Often we turn to God, but sometimes God appears to be sleeping. It's like the passage when Jesus and some of his disciples were out in the Sea of Galilee in a small boat, and a storm comes up. Jesus is asleep. You know how it goes. The disciples are afraid, and they wake, and Jesus wakes up, and he stills the storm. He calms the storm. Well, Kate Bowler writes about this passage. She says, how often in our own lives do we have a picture of who we want God to be? The ways we expect God to act, the miracles we want God to perform, the storms we've asked God to calm. We had hope. He was the one who would eradicate the pandemic. Hoped he was the one who would reverse dementia, shrink the tumor, save the marriage, erase mental illness, give us a baby. We had hoped he was the one who wouldn't lead us into storms. But instead, this is our God. The one who calls us to love the stranger and foreigner and enemy. The one who leads us into chaos. The one who heals some, but not all. Jesus is the one who dies and who is resurrected. The one who is whose presence remains, whose absence is always before us in this broken world. Let me read that again. Jesus is the one who dies and who is resurrected, and the one whose presence remains, but whose absence is always before us in this broken world. We marvel at the God who loves us and stays by our side, regardless of how little we understand. Often we wonder if our Savior is asleep. So we may need to let go, you know, of our insistence of how we want God to be, how we want God to act, what we want God to do. We need to marvel, though, at the God who loves us and stays by our side regardless of how little we understand. And in so doing, we can turn to God in prayer. Prayer that does not tell God what to do, but prayer that is brutally honest about our inability to deal with the chaos, the fear and anger brought on by a life that seems so, so out of control. Prayer that asks God guidance and strength to deal with the chaos, the perseverance to walk our path day by day. Prayer that asks for the wisdom and the insight to recognize that we can only control what we can control. We can't control pandemic or inflation or the war. We cannot control others, but we can control how we shut people out or how we let them in. We cannot control all the wrongs of the world, but we can control how we help people or how we hinder them. We cannot control God, but we can adjust our understanding of the divine presence as a dance partner who is there improvising alongside no matter where the dance takes us. Amen.